Can I have the first screen to come up? No, no, stay, stay. Can I have the first screen to come up? Thank you. The reason I brought my wife is this morning, Pastor Lien has thrown a doozy at me. She has asked me to speak on why masculinity and femininity. See, one of the things, wow, I didn't know that. Some people get excited about this sort of subjects. So I'm going to say, sweetie, how are you?
Very well.
Very well. I'm not happy with you. I'm not happy with you.
Okay.
Why?
Why is that?
Why is that? I don't know. For whatever reasons, I don't understand you.
Is it because you dressed yourself today?
Because I dressed myself today. There's a reason I asked my wife. This is why I married her. She's very cheeky. The reason I asked her the question is, we are living in a world right now where we are becoming genderless. What God actually set us apart, male and female, I have put them together. Now today, people say, you're a man, tomorrow you're a woman. From a woman, then you're a man. The next moment, you are just arrived from Mars. You are now a Martian. The next person, you will become from Jupiter. Who are you? I'm from Jupiter. So the world is throwing so much of genderless ideology. And so I figured out why Pastor Lien wanted to speak to me. You see, one of the beautiful things is when I touch even her skin, have you ever touched a lady's skin? They're all gentle, mellowy, and, you know, and just gluey and just marshmallowy. Have you ever touched a man's hand? It's all rough as guts. Have you ever realized that? Have you ever realized that's why male and female, we get attracted? I mean, today my wife is really aroused because all of you know that she's a skirt girl, but she's got these leather pants today. And that's really arousing me right at this moment.
Too much information.
Thank you. Listen carefully. Some of you guys are laughing in, possibly in a shame. Some of you guys are saying, Rich, I can't believe you're behaving in this rude behavior. I want to say this to you. There's a lot of young people are here. If I don't talk about sex, if I don't talk about masculinity and femininity, if the church says, please don't talk about that, please don't talk about it, it's a taboo, it's a taboo. I just want to say this to you right now. There are kids who are sitting here, 15, 16, 18, 19, 20-year-old people are sitting, male and female. If I don't talk about it, if I don't make it, you know, a kind of, it's normal for you to speak. The moment I don't speak about it, the moment those kids leave this church, you know where they're getting their teaching? Internet. And what internet teaches you? Porn is okay. To abuse ladies is okay. To verbalize and to, you know, to use profanity on women, it's okay. And so the world has become in a such a plight at this moment, all of the above are okay, okay, okay. I just want to say this to you. I think we need to celebrate of male and female in the Church of Jesus Christ. There's nothing wrong with it. Okay? The church is not supposed to be a funeral parlor. I saw you. You know what? This morning, Cody is not supposed to sing that song. The last song you guys all, you know, all of you guys saw, you know, dancing going on, all that. I told Pastor Lien, please get Cody to sing. Because I love all of you guys. I love this morning service. But I just felt in the Spirit of God, we need the sense of excitement. We're not pushing a coffin. You know, we're not pushing a coffin, you know, to get cremated or to be buried. When you are in Jesus Christ, there should be a sense of excitement. Because when you go up to heaven, there's a disco parties will be going through. If you do not know how to have disco party over here, how are you going to dance up there? But I love the Australian South Africans. They really know how to dance. Whereas Indians are different dancing. It's like it's like Bollywood dancing. Can I say this? We are doing church. Church should be fun. It should not be a case of don't talk about SEX. Don't talk about this. Don't talk about that. The very first time I saw this girl, you know what attracted me? Her voice. There was this throaty voice. Now my wife says, there's too much detail in this one. She'll leave a message over the phone, and I used to save all her messages. And then I rewind all the messages. I'll listen to all the messages back again. Because of a voice. You see, there's something to celebrate about a male and about a female. And then if you ask my wife, why did you got married to me? It's the way that you interact. It's the way you handle. It's the way you speak. So opposites will always attract each other. So this morning, it's all about celebration of why you and I, male and female, why should we be proud of it? The fact of the matter that God created the way that we are. We should be excited the way God has created us. So with this, can I come back, the first Lord, and can we touch on this very, on this topic? Wow, I love the way these guys have written the way. A biblical masculinity, or better known as, for normal people like you and I, it's manhood. And I've written over here, leading your wife, responsibilities of headship, leading, teaching your kids about Christ, responsibilities of being a disciple maker in your home. Masculinity men are cultivators. So I will touch the male part of it, and then I'll touch the female part of it, and then eventually I'll bring conclusion. Would that be okay with you guys? So with this, can I have the scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13 to 14? Okay, it says here, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. In the ESV translation says, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, and be like a man. However, the NKJV, New King James Version, says in a different way. At the end of it, it says, let all that you do done with love. You see, this morning, I just want to say, men have been taught and trained. My dad used to tell me, men should never cry. If you cry, it's a strength of weakness. It's not a strength of where you and I should be standing firm. So when I used to cry, Dad would say, he'll quickly get his hands into his pocket. He'll get his handkerchief and he'll start to wipe it off on my eyes. He said, son, I just want to let you know, men should never ever cry. I said, and I'll tell her, but mom cries, mom can cry, you can't cry. You see how, you know, all this has been taught. It's like what we call stereotype. And then, you know, most of us will die. If you are a man, you should have a certain ego. If you are a man, you need to show what? Your macho-ness. How big and how good, how strong you are. If a guy wants to fight, you have to throw another fight. My dad used to say, never go into a fight. But if that boy decides to bring you a fight, have a real good one. But don't tell your mother about that. Honest, I need to let you know that, you know, we are living in a society. Pastor Leanne and I have been pastoring this church for many, many years. We see often when a father is not in a son's life, when a father is not in a daughter's life, I can see the moral compass goes all over different shapes. You see, you don't understand how powerful fathers play a part. And especially when we start to, you know, especially when we start to really shirk the responsibility, and you tell your wife, you look after the children, and the children are grown up by only one parent. Have you ever realized that? And then as the time goes by, when the child grows up, the child is so different to every other child who had a contact with a father figure. You see, masculinity is something to be proud of and also to be something to be celebrated. But in what context should we celebrate? We should celebrate in the context of what the Bible has to say that. And the Bible clearly says that if you want to celebrate masculinity, then you got to celebrate with the faith of my Lord Jesus Christ. Do you think my dad did a pretty good job? I think so, fairly. But on the vast majority of it, I would tell you right now, he did his best. You cannot blame your mom, your dad, and every single person. He did his best. But at the end of it, there's one father, though, who looks after you, who speaks to you, who tells you everything in your personal life. And I'm calling him the Father in heaven. You see, what does the Father in heaven does? How does he do it? And how does he embraces you? And how does he comes and holds of you? That's the love that you and I are looking for. There are a lot of people are here who do not have the love of their father. You know, they would have grown up, dad would come. My dad was a workaholic. all he did is worked and worked and worked and worked so much amount of work, he will even bring his overtime back to his house. And he will do his overtime right up through 1 o'clock in the morning. Following morning, 5 o'clock, he gets up, he goes back to work. And he did that 7 days a week as a chartered accountant. He loved his job, but I did not know that our time, from time to time, I did not know where he was with this, but he was trying to provide for the entire family all the time through. Provision is one thing, but there's another thing is, where is the paternal love for your children? You see, you and I have to think about it. Did your Father in heaven, when he sent his one and only begotten Son, John 3:16 says that, you see, when he sent the Son over onto this earth, there was a caring nature, there was a nurture of building you up and raising you up. So we need to become, if you're going to say, I am masculine and I am male and I am going to show my malehood, but in what context are you going to show your malehood? Can I have the second point? Let's go through the second point. What does it say? And so, when you and I are growing up, and your dad is teaching you, and then obviously the internet teaches you, then the TV programs teaches you, then your teachers in your high school, in your university, they teach you all the things that we get influenced and taught. However, it does not come directly from the Bible. You and I are superimposed to every single culture, and the culture comes and dominates us. Would you agree with me? However, today, if I were to look at, can I have 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, Bible says, husbands likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. How many men would say to me this morning, God is not listening to my prayers? If there is, your prayers are not hindered, go and talk to your wife this morning. You might have to want to sit down and talk to her and listen to them and what they have to say. You see, Peter says, as being heirs together the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. I see, we marry a lot of couple. So can I have Corey and Patricia? My timing is perfect. Come. Quick, before the anointing goes. Stand. These two got engaged on Tuesday night. They engaged to be married. And I remember early this year, both of them came up to me and they said, I think we are falling in love with each other. What are your thoughts? I said, go out, enjoy your time, come back, let me know, and I'll marry you guys. So now they're engaged to be married. It's a great honor. Can I ask of you guys all to remember this couple, to pray, and we'll have the privilege to marry. Thank you. God bless. You. If you ever seen Patricia coming to the church, the music is going on, and she's moving like this. My wife one day came back home. My wife kept on laughing. I said, why are you laughing? She said, you should see Patricia. When she comes to church, there's already the movement taking place right now. She makes all the other women ashamed because she really celebrates Jesus. My point is, couples whom I marry, couples whom I'm about to marry, and after 6 months, after 12 months of marriage, or 18 months of marriage, they'll come back. They'll come back. They said, Pastor Rich, we need a counseling time. And all of a sudden, couples will come and say, the man will often say, Pastor Rich, you know what's the problem in this marriage? I said, no, I don't know. She is not submissive to me. Oh, really? Yeah. And can I know why? I'm the head. She's the tail. I'm the head. I've seen young men, especially those who have got, they feel they're invincible. You know, bullets can pass through. They can jump. They're like Tarzans. I said, I'm the head. She's the tail. She needs to listen to me. I said, where? And they'll show me quickly the scripture. Can I say to all these men who are sitting over here, about to get married, or who are married, or have been married for 20 years or 30 years, listen very carefully. There are strong women across all our lives. My point is, if you want to earn your stripes, if you want to show who you are, what you are, can I ask every single man to spend time behind the closet room and pray for the marriage? The moment your wife sees what you do right now, your wife will naturally, automatically will submit to you without any struggle whatsoever. But most men don't want to pray. They will open up the shirt and show their, you know, and then they show their, you know, and then they show their, their six pack and see my six pack coming out. Do you know who I am? Hey, what's the point? Do you know every lady I've interviewed over here, they say, what sort of man are you looking for? I want a godly man. Women are always looking for a godly man. You don't want to go, come, you want to fight? You want to fight? I want to fight. What's the point? After that, you're coming back with a black eye, and then you've got to put ice on your, you know, ice on your eyes, and the next 3 days, ooh, I'm sore, ooh, I'm sore. What's the point? Defeat the power of the enemy by praying in the closet. You see, I think a lot of men have got it wrong. Some or rather, when the Father does not walk with you, and the Father does not walk with me, and then all of a sudden, you're defending yourself, you're growing up yourself. In the midst of this, the world is so cruel, and someone comes, and someone does a dirty on you. You grow up as a young man, angry, 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 upset, upset. So anything comes, all you think, one resort for every man, is I want to punch the living daylights out of him. That's not how you do things. You do things because if you are a man today, I want you to celebrate your masculinity. I want you to celebrate your manhood. But in order to celebrate your manhood should start off behind the prayer closet. You pray, the women will fall in love all over again. You cannot chase them away. A lot of young men will say to me, I want to marry Rich. I want to marry. I said, have you got a plan? Well, I've got a plan. I'm going to the gym 6 days a week. I said, why? Because I want to show my guns. I said, let me tell you right now, by the time 70, 80, the guns, poof, it's gone down. Is your lady going to say, why? The guns is not here. The guns is here. I got no guns. I don't even have a six pack, but I got to push myself against a fence and then show my six pack. Listen very carefully, guys. There are a lot of wonderful men here. I love this church. The last time I went to America, United States, I missed you guys. I don't like to travel anywhere. I love to be here in Perth. I'm a homebody. I love every one of you guys God has given. But in particular, young men, middle-aged men, old men, like I am, you know, we all have gone through what we have gone through. But to win a woman's heart is how much the man can actually kneel down before God, start to pray for God, start to intercede for the wife, start to fast for the children, start to fight the battles that you need to fight, not in the wrong way, but in the right way, getting closer, closer, closer to the God Almighty. That will change. You know, women often, you know, I asked one day my wife, I asked my wife this question. I said, you know, what attracted you to me? Because I'm not the shiniest car in the car park. And she said to me, the only thing which attracted me to you, it's the way you knew who the Holy Spirit was. But then I asked on a general consensus, because she's a clean psych, I asked my wife, I said, a general woman, why should she fall in love with a man? She said, a man is supposed to protect the lady. And so I said, is that important? It's very, very important. And they want to see a man strong, powerful, tall, involved with all the above. And so anything happens to the lady, the man knows how to fight for her. But she says, that anyone can do it. But to get closer to God, it's another realm. It's another spirit. Can I encourage all the men who are sitting over here? I know that you want to protect your child. I want you to protect your wife. I want you to protect the family. All the above, it's okay. But I'm just saying to you right now, if you are in God, nothing will ever touch you. Okay? Can I come back to the next scripture right at this moment? Let's go through back. And so leading, teaching your kids about Christ's responsibilities of being a disciple maker in your home. Can I have the book of Ephesians chapter 6 verse 4? And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up to the training and the admonition of the Lord. The next part of it, masculinity. We find that often dads and fathers, they like to tease their children. And often many, many men will also try to tease Luke or will try to tease this young man or will tease Farid or will tease someone. You see, I just want to say that there is a tease and a joke. But beyond that, it always ends up in a point of provocation. You see, provocation should not be the DNA of masculinity. Encouragement should be the DNA of masculinity. You're meant to raise them up. You're meant to build them up. You're meant to speak into their lives. You're meant to take them up and raise them as leaders of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, that's why he says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but to bring them up in the training. It does not speak about the lady. It does not speak over the wife. So this morning, the role and the responsibility of a man, the role and the responsibility of a lady, of a woman, what are we supposed to do? I think over the last number of years, this leadership or this, you know, the roles has been completely mixed up, turned upside down. Now people have become very, very different. You see, I want to also let you know, when a male does not take responsibility, the wife rises up, she takes a responsibility. I've come across when the man has come and said, my wife has become a Jezebel. How many of you guys have heard that? You see, that's a problem with men. That's another side of the problem, that your duty is to provide. Your duty is to support. Your duty is to covering. Your duty is supposed to give a covering. But when the covering is not given by a male, the female will rise up. When the female rise up, then the roles get changed. And when the roles get changed, all of a sudden the male rises up and says, you know, she's a Jezebel, Pastor Rich. But isn't she your wife? Yeah, she's my wife, but she's a Jezebel. I said, why is she a Jezebel? She's not a Jezebel. She had to take your role because you've been sitting on the couch eating potato chips. That is not a male. That's a wuss. Men are meant to look after. They're, you know, we are the fighters. We are the protectors. We are the one who supposed, you know, a male should always run after a lady. A male should date the girl out. Not the female running after the lady. It's the male, because they're the hunter. They are the gatherer. They are the one who have to run for it. You see, when it's not there, then all of a sudden you realize this young man, when he grows up and when he gets married, he has got no aspiration. He's got no ambition. He's not going to go very far. I have got a lot of those kind of men, and they always come, and I could see where it's going on due to whatever circumstances. And then I have to walk in with them very gently. This is what needs to be done. This is what you need to be done. This is what you need to be done. And then they rise up. Can I say this, guys? I think we are losing our manhood. Our manhood is important. Masculinity is important. But it's how you tackle it. It's how you walk in it. It's how you take care of it and how you're meant to be. You see, last night my wife and I had a bit of a talk going through. My wife always wanted to serve ADF, Australian Defence Force. And so there was a job which came through for my wife. Australian Air Force contacted her and they said, we are shortage of clinical psychologists. We want you to come and work for us. She was excited. My wife was very excited. She said, and then she inquired more and more about it. She was excited. She wanted to wear that hat, the Salvation Army hat. And then, call her Captain, Captain Marais and all the above. She got really, really pumped, really excited. And so I kept away out of it. And so we decided to have a family decision. I said, let's all sit down and let's all talk. The talk, so you have to understand there are two other, gorillas inside the house. And there are three of us. So I got two boys, Jesse and Josh. So I opened up the whole entire meeting. I said, your mom has been invited by the Australian Defence Force to work for the Air Force, and she will become a clinical psychologist. And then, so they asked all the questions. How long is the training? How far? How long is she going to go for? Is she going to leave us, for quite a certain time? And we answered everything. And then I said, boys, we need to make a decision. And they said, unanimously, Dad, she is banned. She can't go and join Air Force. Ask her. She told me. I said to the boys, you made up this decision. You one day you'll get married and then you'll fly because you'll get married to someone. I'm stuck with this lady. For the rest of my life, she's now going to criticize me because I joined with the boys. So last night she said, yeah, you will be with me. The boys are gone. You will be with me. I'll keep telling you over and over again how I should have become a captain on the Air Force. See, the beauty about it, why I'm trying to say this right now, they felt very, very protected. They felt that my wife played a key role. They felt that, the boys felt they did not want to lose their mother. They felt, and they said, Mom, you already earn well. You already do this. You already do that. You know, ADF can look after. There are other clinical psychologists can look after Air Force. We do not. We just want you. You see what I'm trying to say? Well, the reason why that decision was made and how we deal with it, it's because the whole family is conformed with the love of God. There's a love for each other, and within the love, they want to say, Mom, we want you to be with us. You see, that's how masculinity needs to, you need to compensate. You know, now if anything happens to my wife, my two boys will actually go and they will actually protect her because of everything that she does. Can I have the next point? Thank you so much. Come with me, the next one, the first, last point. Masculinity, men are cultivators. So can I have all the scriptures, son? The book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 28. Then God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves the earth. So God bless husband and wife. Am I right to say it? God bless all of the above. Can I have the next scripture? Thank you so much as we go through. Before any plant of the field was in the earth, before any herb of the field had grown, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, there was no man to till the ground. So this is happening before the humankind came in. Can I have the next one? Thank you. 2:15. Then the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden and then to tend and keep it. I want to also encourage you, no matter how much bravado a man could have, but Bible says very clearly that God chose Eve for Adam. God found it is not good for a man to be alone. Am I right to say that? And so God realized, although he's a friend to the man, but God felt in his heart there should be another person to walk alongside with this man. And that lady is none other than Eve. So someone wrote a book, and I was reading it yesterday on the internet. And I just want to mention this. If you ever get a book called Father Hunger, a book called Father Hunger, written by Douglas Wilson, this is what he says. True masculinity is the humble, glad assumption of God-given responsibility. I just love that part of it. He says here, true masculinity is the humble, glad assumption of God-given responsibility. You see, men are meant to really compliment. Men are meant to really look after the ladies. Men are meant to look after the children. Men are there to protect, to become hunter, gatherers, all of the above. But it's a powerful responsibility that God gave you and I. I want you to celebrate. Don't change. What God has given to you, it's perfect. But we are lost to some extent because sometimes our own fathers haven't done a great job. They would have done a stuff-up job. No fathers on this earth are perfect. Only one father in this earth that I know of is perfect. It's none other, the Father in heaven. And so I want you to realize, embrace masculinity. Don't compromise. Don't substandard yourself and say, I'm not good. I'm not this. I'm not good. This is why Jesus came and died for you on the cross of Calvary. Now let's go to the number 2 point. And I want to touch on this point. A biblical femininity or womanhood. I will give him an extension of myself, feminine from whom will satisfy his loneliness. Leading your husband, responsibilities of grace, leading and hating her kids about Christ. And then femininity, women are nurturers. And so I want to speak on this one right now. Can I have the scripture, Isaiah 66? Look at the scripture. It says here, and as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. You see, I want to encourage you. Today, I'm going to throw you I'm going to throw your thinking in out of kilter. Do you realize when women came, it came from the image of God? Do you realize Bible says God created male and female together in the eyes of God? Am I right to say that? And so if male and female came from the eyes of God, then there is the masculinity side of Jesus, of God, and then the feminine side of God. Have you ever thought about it? My wife looked at me and said to me, "Why are you wearing a shirt with all roses?" I said, "I'm touching on masculinity and femininity." So the color of the shirt is blue, but it's all tattered with all roses, which represents all females. I like how I think. I don't know about my wife. And one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. You see, ladies are powerful. Would you agree with me? They can come and they can comfort. A pastor wrote a particular sermon I was reading through. It says, this is how I will separate. You see a man, you see a lady. A man will always enforce law in the house. But if you see a lady, she'll always enforce grace in the house. Have you ever seen that? In my home, I'm the ugly ogre bear who has come from Singapore to bring a discipline and to bring a rod to my children. All of a sudden, you know, if I started to confront, PJ, Peter will understand. All of a sudden, I'll confront. They'll run to the mom. Mom, no, dad is coming after us. You see what my point is? Chessie knows because Chessie has done. He's guilty as charged. So, a man carries a law. He enforces a law. A woman carries grace. Every time when you hold, even when you hold, you know, what's your name? Florence hands. There's something. When a woman touches you, there's something about them. And they'll always be able to ease your fears. They comfort you. They take you down. But if I hold this man's hands, he's gripping me and I'm about to shout. You see, can you see the difference how masculinity and femininity actually operates and actually functions? My boys know whenever they go to their mothers, whenever they go to their mother, they know they can get away with blue murder from Rich. They know. Absolutely. They will never come up to me. Even if, say, Jesse were to discuss about an issue with a young girl, and if there's some kind of an attraction going on, and I could hear this whispering going on in the bedroom. As soon as I open up, they both go very quiet. Because I'll say, What is this? What is this? What are you talking about? Why are you talking about girls? You should not be talking about girls now. And my wife says, Dad, could you just leave the room? I'm talking to my husband. I'm talking to my son. And then she'll come up. Did you have to come to the room? I said, yes, I was hearing something to do with girls. This is not the right time to speak about girls. Don't talk about girls now. And she's like, calm down. Did you understand? I said, what is this girl? Her name is Michelle, is it? It's got nothing to do with you, she'll say to me. I said, you know how old he is? Yes, I know how old he is. I am leading my son. I know what I'm doing. You got nothing to worry. I said, I do not want this Michelle Rhonda. Anyone inside this house? I wish sometimes I've got a pump gun, you know, a shotgun. I said, no son of mine should be dating right now. No son of mine should bring the girl. Leave him alone. I want him to be pure, and I want him to become a pastor of a church. God has got great plans. I don't want any girls to come after this man. My wife says, calm down, everything will be all right. Father, can I have the screen back again? Thank you kindly. So I've decided to put this. This is how I look at God, okay? So, I will give him an extension of myself, feminine form, who will satisfy his loneliness. You see, this is how I look at God. I will give him an extension of myself in a feminine form who will satisfy his loneliness. So you can't say, males can't come say, I've been made in the image and likeness of God. So is also females are also made in the image and likeness of God. It is an extension form of God's grace onto your life. So women are a favor. What does the Bible say? A man, when he finds a female or a woman, he has found what? Favor of God. So please treasure your wife like princesses. Treat them like queen. Make sure you buy a bunch of flowers every second week. Colin, I pray you're doing that every second week. Yes, good. You ask my wife, every second week, every 1 week, I will ambush her with a bunch of flowers. I will tell her, when I was in the United States for 15 days, in the 15 days, I went and organized with my florist. The first 7 days, you will send a bunch of flowers. And I wrote in the flowers, prior before into coming into America, I wrote, I'm halfway through the journey. I'm thinking about you. I love you. I'm going to see you. I've got only 7 more days. The day before I'm about to land, I've just landed at Perth International Airport. You would have received the flowers by now. I'm about to see you and give you a big kiss very soon. Yes, I like to kiss my wife. What a shock. Rich likes to kiss his wife. Can I encourage you guys? You know, this is a Pentecostal church. We all pray, you know, we all sing, hallelujah, praise the Lord. But let me make it very clear. I think we need to have moderation as well. You know, you can't say to Eli, you can't say to your wife, ooh, I see you as a Jezebel. Sikara, I'm commanding you in Jesus' name. Come out right now. Please don't treat your wife like that. And then the woman comes up, Pastor Rich, my husband thinks I'm a Jezebel. I'm a demon right now. I get this problem in this church all the time because we are too Pentecostal. Listen, guys. Love your wife. Adore your wife. I adore my wife. I got the same butterflies when I met her, and I still got the same butterflies in my tummy. As I said, she has aroused me this morning because of the leather pants she's wearing. And she's putting her head down like this. Look at her. She's putting her head down like this. I want to make it very, like a normal dialogue, like a normal conversation. It's nothing wrong. Celebrate feminism. Celebrate females. There's nothing wrong. My mother was a strong woman. She was in the ministry for 43 years. She's just retired. Dad used to sit down right at the back and he would speak in tongues and he would say, go, my love, go and speak. I will be praying for her. My dad celebrated as my mother as being the minister of the gospel. This is what I'm trying to say. Don't be afraid. Can I say this now? I am surrounded by powerful women in this church. All those ladies who you know, Megan is one of them. Megan O'Mara is one of them. Auntie Catherine Tan is another one of them. Pastor Leanne is another one of them. Angie Miller is another one of them. Candace Thomas is another. They're all, when I come into, Pastor Rich, have you done this? 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 I've just come in on Monday. I said, yes, yes. But the thing is, I'm very comfortable under my skin. Why? Because you need to celebrate their talents and their giftings that God has given. Without this woman, I can't do anything. I do zip this place. Can I make it very clear? Celebrate your wife. Ambush your wife. Love your wife. Don't run them down. Speak to them. Can I come back again on this one? Leading your husband, responsibilities of grace. Can I have the scripture? Titus chapter 2, verse 3 to 5. The book of Titus. Oh, it says, the older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderous, not given too much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young woman to love their husband, to love their children, to discreet, chaste, good makers and good. Can I have the next one? Thank you. Obedient to their hearts, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. You see, everything about that scripture, it speaks about women walking in the, you know, in the land of grace. Whereas men, we like to implement law. Women will implement grace and implement more than anything else, being a nurturers. They nurture us. Sometimes I can get really heated up under my collar. Do you know that? My wife says, just let's all take a bit of a chill pill now. As soon as I go down to the Perth International Airport, I do not like border customs officers. They do not have a gun. They don't have anything. They're not even in the part of the military. They're not even in the police. You see, I've got all the issues right now with that. And all of a sudden, open your back. I want to check your back. Who are you? Where are you? And I just feel like that. Do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? And my wife will just hold my hands very gently. And she'll just, if I raise my voice, you know, the squeeze becomes tighter, tighter, tighter. And if I do not raise my voice, it would so tight, I'm about to scream right now. They're very good how, you know, how they moderate their conversation, how they temper their conversation, how they'll bring that. There's something special and we need to celebrate females. There's nothing wrong with them. Can I say this? Someone once said, I think the more prime ministers, if we have more lady prime ministers, there will be lesser wars. Although I do think about that, could it be true? Margaret Thatcher, as we remember, the Iron Lady, decided to take England, decided to take the, against the Argentines, when the Argentines decided to invade Falklands. How many of you guys know? I grew up in the Falklands War. And I also remember the then Indian Prime Minister, Indira Gandhi, she took all the military might into Pakistan, defeated the Pakistanis. So, they're pretty good, but they're very methodical, they're very calculative, they'll go only into war when they feel like, but most time they'll have a restraint. Whereas we will jump up and down, I want to have a go right now. The woman says, no, calm down. Right? Can I have the next scripture? Thank you, sir. Can I come back to the screen? And so, heading her kids about Christ. Can I have 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7? But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. If you were to go through the book of Isaiah, many, many times, God actually speaks on a feminine side, a mother will care a babe. A mother will walk. He mentions almost his side of things. There is a feminine side that I look after. He even, God the Father, even gives importance to the role of females. Can I say this? We need to cherish all the ladies that God has given. There's nothing wrong with being the person as a lady as you are. Last point. Can I touch this? And I'm going to finish this off as soon as possible. Femininity women are nurturers. Can I have the book of Proverbs chapter 31 verse 1. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Have you ever seen women? They never stop. As soon as you go inside the house, they're still working, working, working. You see Rich Bryce, he's sly, you know, he's on the couch eating potato chips and watching Everybody Loves Raymond. But the women will just keep on working, 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 working. Yeah, I feel sorry for the ladies. Even before they marry, they've already do a lot of work. By the time they get married, they've got a husband, couple of children. Now they've taken all the load as well. But what do men do? They'll just be watching Everybody Loves Raymond. So, give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Please enjoy, celebrate women in the midst of all this congregation. The very last point, finish it off, number 3. I'm about to finish, about to go through. And so, we find that bringing the two roles to serve God in unity, both genders are to coexist together for the glory of God, celebrate male and female virtues and qualities. Very, very simple. So can I have 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 11 to 12. Nevertheless, neither is man independent of woman, nor woman independent of man in the Lord. For as woman came from man, even so man also comes from woman. But all things are from God. Amen. My two boys are growing up right now. And they often say, Mom, I am about to beat you very soon. My wife will say, why do you think you can beat me very soon? Because you are a lady. I'm a boy. And so it took a while. My wife has got a feisty side of things. And so it took a while that we had to say, your mother can beat you in 100 meters. So she took them for 100 meters race and she beat the crock out of them. And then the two boys came up and they said, Dad, we need to talk to you. I said, where? Let's go at the park, you know, let's go at the backyard. I said, Mom beat us. I said, so? But she's a girl. You know girl? G-I-R-L, a girl. And I said, why? I didn't think girl can do this. I said, I got news for you. Girls can do all things. See, my point is, you see how even my young boys are stereotyped. Girls can't do this. Girls can't do that. We can coexist. This church can't run without the, you know, without the ladies that I've got. I've got, you know, I've got Candace, I've got Pastor Leanne, I've got, you know, I've got Ange Miller, and I've got all these people, powerful ladies who all are independent in their own thinking. In Pastor Leanne, if you worked with Pastor Leanne for 15 years, you know, I'm very glad I'm still alive. That lady, you give a document. I know what it is. Like, I'm looking at a document. Okay, close. I open again. Okay, close. I don't understand what the document says. This girl, she'll look at the document. Yeah, I know. And within a couple of minutes, she'll give me every description. That's what the document says. I tell you, your Pastor Leanne is absolutely super smart. She just learns things. Even, you know, anything with accountancy, anything with, you know, anything to barrister, anything to tie, any, she's a pastor. But any document, any other document, whatever profession, she'll just read, oh yeah, I know what it is like. So I often joke with her. I said, do you know there is still a vacancy for you in the British Embassy in London for you to become an Australian ambassador? She said, no, I don't want to go. I want to stay with you here. Powerful. Am I right? Can I go to the next point? Thank you, and finish it off. Both genders are to coexist together for the glory of God. Can I have Ephesians 5, verse 28? So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. He who loves his wife loves himself. How many men do you say, I don't love yourself? How many men will say, I don't love myself? The Bible says that he who loves his wife loves himself. You love your wife first. I'm guaranteeing right now, you will love yourself very quickly. Very simple. But we made this world so complicated. The last, very last point. There's no scripture. Can I come through and finish it off? Celebrate male and female virtues and qualities. All of the above. Right. This morning I saw a young lady. God spoke to me. Megan, touch the lady next to you. Yes? Ask her to rise up. Can you come to the front, sweetie? I'll be very gentle with you. Come. Ella, come. Come. I'm going to finish this service, guys. Is that okay with you? Come, stand here. Sweetie. Mom, stand beside her and put your shoulders around her, Mom. Really appreciate it. Stretch your hands to this young lady. I said to you earlier on that ladies are special. Males are also special. But this lady is special. Why? Is simply because of this. My Lord, I thank you for this wonderful lady. Sweetie, God says to me, You had to grow up very, very quickly. You grew up very quickly because you had to take responsibility on some of the family matters. Matters you often say, you know, I don't have to look. But in your heart of your heart, you care for people. And especially when it comes to your own family members, you love them, you look after them. As much as it can be, sometimes you're full of irritation, you will say, I do not want to see my people falling and breaking down in tears. I need to look after them. And then, you know, because of you, number of people in your personal life, I pray and ask of God, they should thank you. They should celebrate you because you are a powerful lady and you have always looked after every single person. Without you, I think they would have wandered and strayed away. They would have gone somewhere else. Not only you have to look after your own, you know, your own journey, your own walk, your own walk, and you got to look after yourself. But if I were to give you a piece of paper and I say, have you looked after you? You look after this person, this person, this person, this person. And then if I ask you, what about you? I'm in the last in the list. What about you? No, I don't have time to look after myself. I think I might look after myself tomorrow. The day after, then you'll go through the list. You look after everyone. And then again, you will be the last in the list. Have I looked after? No, I don't have time. I'll look after. So each time you've gone through in your personal life, and you've often wondered, am I going to be like this for the rest of my life? Or is my life going to change? My God says to me this morning, I will change. I will turn your people. I will make sure the blessing of your loved ones will change. this will not be like this for the rest of your life. Your life will turn upside down. In the coming days to come, I don't want to argue with you. But if I argue with you, you will bulldoze me. And you have got a powerful voice. And I want to pray that you'll become a powerful lawyer or a barrister or a solicitor. You'll be very, very good in the days to come just to argue. You'll fight for people. You'll fight for women's justice. You'll fight for young girls. You'll fight for older ladies. People who have been completely marginalized by the government of the day. You have got such a powerful voice. You are going to become someone powerful in the days to come right now. Release this blessing, God. Release this anointing. Blessings I say. Blessings I speak. Jesus' name I pray, God. Amen and amen. Thank you, sweetie. God bless. Can I ask all of you guys to rise up to your feet? Come down. Come up. Rise up to your feet. One more song. And I'm going to say now the last prayer. After saying the last prayer, let's sing this last song with a gusto, if it is okay with you. My God, we thank you for this wonderful morning and afternoon. We want to celebrate masculinity. We want to celebrate femininity. We want to celebrate the two wonderful genders, God. We thank you for the God Almighty who brought the two genders together out of His sight, from His sight, from His image, from His likeness. You brought that about so that we can be comfortable within ease of ourselves, God. We love you. Let us think about who you are, what you are, what you've done. As we leave this place, God, we pray, God, the next 6 days until we meet on the seventh day, next Sunday, God, speak to us, speak to us, speak to us. Bring us closer to you right now. We love you. We ask of you to be with us. And all God's people say, Amen.